Right, there you go. Hello and happy Monday, everybody.
Happy Monday.
How are you there, Tiffany?
I'm fine. How are you there?
I'm fantastic.
And you, I don't know if you realize or not, but there's somebody in the studio. And I heard him doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
Yeah, he was doo-doodling right along. So, yeah, it's a special day. This is my son, Luke. He's back in the show today. Tomorrow is his birthday. Yeah, so he's giving me the present by being present.
Are you going to take him out to dinner after the show?
Hell no. Yes. Yes, of course I am.
There you go.
That's right. I don't want to break any FCC rules. Yes, I'm taking him out to dinner.
Good.
All right. So, Tiff, how are you? You're good?
I'm good.
Great?
I'm great.
All right. Good. And Luke, how are you doing?
Well, I'm trying out a makeshift pop filter. I don't know if it works. Do I sound good in your...
You sound fantastic.
That is pretty funny.
That is nice.
That's like the next million-dollar idea.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. So you do that. No. Look at that. No, because you don't want to knock that off his mic.
No.
All right?
No.
So it's a mic.
It's a little bit better now.
It's a mic cover and a skull cap. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Universal.
You know that microphone gets cold sometimes.
That's so true. So, Tiff, do you know what our show is about today?
Well, kind of do, because I asked Luke in the green room.
Good. I am so glad you're prepared for this, Tiffany. This is excellent. You know, your obsession with this show and your ambition to make it, drive it out of the park, knows no bounds. Great. So, well, let's say hi to the audience. How do you think about that? Everyone look out the window, wave to the audience. Hello, audience. Hi. There you go. It's amazing how many people. I think the crowd is pretty much the same almost every week. It's incredible.
You know what?
It
pretty much is.
I look out there. I only see a couple of empty seats. Okay? So...
It's true.
So it's interesting. Yeah. So if you're out there and you ever want to just come and check out the show, be part of the live studio audience, feel free. We are the only radio station in the world that's in a train station, as far as we know.
There we go. I was waiting for that last part. That's right. I think there might be something going on.
So we changed the name. It used to be called the, what was it called before?
The Voice.
Yeah, The Voice. We were
Lake
the voice
County.
But then they realized WRLR has no V's in it. So we changed it to The Life. So I don't know if it's The Life of Lake County, the Real Life Radio, or Royal Life Ribs.
All right.
Ribs. Okay, so we'll figure out what the R's stand for, but Life, that's who we are now.
Life We're Radio.
Life Radio. The Radio. Life. The Life.
The Life.
All right, and so, if you're still out there, thank you so much for tuning in. It is Monday, a little after 7, and you are listening to WRLR 98.3.
The Life.
The Life.
This is The Life.
There you go.
Ooh,
wow.
We should record that.
I know. We should definitely record that.
And then just keep hitting the button.
Every
so when he's not here, we don't have to.
Right. There you go. I like that. Every Monday, you get a treat. You get to listen to Bacon Bits with Master Happiness. I'm your host, Marty Jalove, and I couldn't do it by myself. I need my bestest buddy.
Tiffany.
There she is. And today, of course, if you listened in earlier, you know that we have a special guest here. Luke Jalove, who happens to be an expert in this subject matter, ambition, and obsession.
I always seem to be an expert.
No matter what it is, I just throw that out.
You call me in.
This way we add some credibility to the show when we call in an expert. So
sure.
That's it. That's it. I mean, when I say an expert, I mean you know how to spell those two words.
I do.
Yes.
X and pert.
Perfect. All right. So every week what we do is we tackle different subjects, things that bother us, things that hinder our happiness, things that send us on a path in the wrong direction. We understand that there's plenty of reasons to be sad and angry, even afraid, right? So happiness is outnumbered 3-1.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so our goal here is to share some shortcuts, help you navigate those paths of happiness.
So if you're sad, you follow some of these stuff, and then you could be happy.
There you go. We're going to turn those frowns upside down,
there
right?
There you go.
All right, turn those tears into cheers, right?
Woohoo!
Oh, yeah. One more. Anyone else got another one?
Turn that glumness...
into.
Oh, man, I really...
He's got one. Turn that glumness not into dumbness. There you go. Yeah, there you go.
Into numbness.
Oh, there you go. There you go. All right, later in the show, Tiffany will have one. Okay, so today we're going to be talking about ambition, obsession, on your path to happiness. And, of course, we're going to apply a little bacon to it. Okay.
Is it the bacon for doing?
It is never the bacon for chewing. It's the bacon for doing.
I thought I was going to get you.
You almost did. Yes. You don't know how many times I got that wrong in a row. Yes. So you're right.
Good job.
Just like we do every week, what we're going to do is we're going to apply a little bacon to it. So we're going to apply the acronym BACON so that you know a little bit about what we're talking about and keeps us on track. So, Tiffany, what I'd like to do is a little something. I'm going to read a little something just so we kind of understand what we're talking about here, especially, and I know you're very well prepared for today's show. Okay, well, we learned that from the intro. So this is what we're talking about.
I get a couple.
I know you do. I'm just messing with you.
Okay.
All right. We all have goals and aspirations, right? You'd agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they be little, big, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Right. We all want to achieve something or become someone, right?
Yes.
And it's only natural to go after these things strongly and eagerly, right? But sometimes we end up feeling unfulfilled, unsatisfied, and unhappy, even after reaching our objectives. All right. This is where ambition and obsession can lead us astray. All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to put those kind of myths behind us and just kind of concentrate on this in this direction. And what I mean about this is that we work so hard so often on certain goals. When we reach them, they're kind of like going, that was it, huh?
Okay. That's right? What I was going
right.
to ask.
Yeah,
so you answered my question.
Yes. That's where we're going with it is we want to really continue to drive home the idea that true happiness is the path. Not necessarily the goal. It's not crossing the finish line. You have to understand, you have to find happiness in running the race.
So you're not saying you're obsessed with being happy, and then when you're finally happy, you're like, this is it.
Well, it's when you're obsessed about being happy, it's usually is you're going to be tied to something. Like, how am I getting to become happy? And then, you know, we talk about this. Everything we do becomes boring at a certain point in time. The more you do something over and over and over again.
Even eat. Your favorite kind of pizza.
Yes, exactly.
No.
Well, yeah.
Thank you.
No.
Thank you, Luke. See? Oh,
yeah, well, we already discussed that. That's Luke is not an expert on pizza, okay?
I wasn't there.
No, there you go. So,
does he not like pizza?
No, he likes it. He's just not an expert. Okay. Remember, he's an expert in burgers.
Okay.
That's his, yes. All right, so let me explain our BACON so we kind of know where the show is going.
Okay.
All right, and then we're going to come back, and Tiffany is going to enlighten us with one of her many wise words of wisdom.
We got two.
Two? All right, excellent. All right, then, and then Luke will fill in the blank.
Oh, good. Thanks, Luke.
Luke is loaded with random ramblings all based around ambition and obsession, right? He's obsessed with the idea of ambition, right? Wouldn't you say?
Of course.
All right, there you go.
B.
All right, so B. B is be ambitious, but not at the cost of your well-being. Okay, so it's a full sentence, so I'll give you a second to finish writing it down. So be ambitious. It's good to be ambitious, but not at the cost of your well-being. A is avoid obsessing over perfection.
Yeah, a lot of people do that.
Oh, my God, yes.
I'm not one of them, though.
No. Well. C is choose moments of contentment and joy.
So I like that one.
Yes, there you go. And O is going to become, is overcome obstacles and adversities. All right? You've got to learn to do that. What does that look for?
Big words.
And? Was the big word?
Adversity.
That's right. There you go. You got it.
Okay.
N is nurture your relationships and connections. Because basically, when we're out after something, we're trying to accomplish something, we should never try to do it alone. We have a support team behind us. We have people who always want to be there as part of our team.
Okay? And you might have a little bit of connection there that might help you get where you need to go.
There you go. Exactly. All right. So before we get started, before we jump right in there, Tiff, do you want to lay out one of your many, many quotes for today?
Okay. The obsession with instant gratification blinds us from our long-term potential.
Oh, very nice. Nice. Yeah. Mike Dooley. You know who Mike Dooley is there, Luke?
I Dooley.
All right. Excellent. Yeah, I don't know who he is either.
Okay.
But
usually
just make it up.
Oh.
I don't know.
Well, of course I believe you.
Exactly. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. No, but that's really good. Read it one more time. I'm sorry.
The obsession with instant gratification blinds us from our long-term potential.
Yeah. Isn't that so true? You know, we get so hooked up or hung up on something we see this, we make up a goal, like, I want to do this, I need to accomplish this. We forget about all these other things, and we're so stuck on that, we forget about all the other things we could be doing.
Like making bacon.
Making bacon, that's it. That almost sounded dirty.
I know, right after I said exactly. I'm like, ooh, I guess I shouldn't have said that.
I don't know, but now the FCC is going to shut us down.
Ah,
thanks.
Nuts. All right. Well, Luca, take my spot.
There you go. There you go.
This was the life, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. All right, so let's get into this B. Be ambitious, but not at the cost of your well-being. All right, it's important to have set some goals for ourselves, some driving force, some direction, like I said, some end goal, a definition of our success. It's something that we have to drive towards. We talk about this all the time about running a marathon without a finish line. It's just running, and you're eventually just going to stop running. You can't sprint if you don't know where the finish line is. If you don't know the finish, if you have no idea where the finish line is, why sprint? And waste all your energy, and you're still running and running and running. So you get bored really quickly. So you need some type of a finish line, a goal there. And so it's very important when you're ambitious to set those goals, but also keep in mind all the other things in life. Okay, I'm in the midst of reading a different book that I hope to talk about maybe even next week. The book is called The Work-Life Myth. Okay, and what they talk about is just this, is keeping track of all the other things that are important in life. There's more than just work in life. They talk about our physical being, you know, keep our health up, our spiritual being, our intellectual, our family, etc. They come up with about seven different things that we have to try to not necessarily keep in balance, but just pay attention to. So it's not just about work and life and work and life and work and life. There's so much more. Take time to spend time with your family and friends. Take time to just be alone. Take time to work on your own intellect, etc. All right. And I think it's really beautiful.
I do that.
Do you?
I do.
All right. Good for you. Well, that's because Mark's always out.
Snowmobiling.
Yeah, exactly. So you got plenty of time. All right. So let me ask you this. Is just this whole idea of being ambitious, but not at the cost of your well-being. What are some of the things that you guys do, all right, that you would say is your own personal self-help, the things that you feel you do for yourself that just makes you feel good? And it could be a spiritual thing. It could be you say, I meditate a little bit. I do yoga. I eat right once a month.
once a month.
Yeah, one time. I saw a picture of a salad. No, anything. What are some of the things that you think you do that you would say is your self-help, where you're really taking care of yourself? Because this whole idea, you know, when you think about the work-life balance, you think about, all right, life, I've got to spend time with my family and my friends and just make sure everything's okay. But sometimes we cut ourselves out of the picture. And sometimes it's good just to relax. Sometimes we need that downtime where we run away from everything else and say, just leave me alone. For some people, it's get lost in a movie or a series that you want to watch where you just need to escape from reality. Sometimes some people sit and open a book and read through a book. Some people study, etc. What do you think? What is the thing that anybody, just either one of you, jump in?
Sure. I always, when I want to sort of bring myself back to level,
yes,
or feel a little healthier than I am, I always try to make it my mission to, like, learn about a new art or, like, a new piece of art that I just had nothing, I knew nothing about. So, like,
give us an example.
Like, if I have not heard of a play, heard the name of a play, but I'm like, I have no idea what this is about.
Yeah.
One day I'll be like, okay, well, time to figure out. So I look into it. I'll read it, or if I don't have time, I'll research it, and then
just learn a little something. What is something, I'm not even going to pin you to, like, the last one, what is something that you learned about that was, like, enlightening, something that you picked up on something and said, wow, I really didn't know that?
Well, I guess I feel like thinking about the last one is going to be easier than...
All right, well, whichever one. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
The other day, I went to a Shakespeare play.
Okay.
That was being performed live.
Is he still writing? Guys, he never quits.
You were his neighbor, weren't you, for a short time?
Yeah, he was in the grade below me.
Yeah, I thought so. Okay.
Old Bill. Yeah. No, I went to a Shakespeare play, and this was a play I had a little knowledge of, but
okay.
I had always kind of discarded. It's called Measure for Measure.
Measure for Measure.
Which I don't. Okay. No one talks about.
No.
No.
But it was playing, and I went to see it with a friend of mine.
Cool.
And seeing it performed live,
right,
with
right.
passion, with these actors
yeah.
putting into it, you really gain an appreciation for the text that otherwise you would just be like, oh, okay, got it. I'll just categorize that. That's what that's about. But seeing it like
yeah.
fully lived and people put into it,
right,
it
just, right.
it really makes you feel a new appreciation for stuff like that.
I like that. That's pretty cool. All right. You know what's tough is because Shakespeare is a tough read.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's a really tough read, right?
Tough.
All right. And I think that is something that you either really are committed to and you can understand and you can soak that up, or you're the type of person who needs to see it visually. Mm-hmm. Because that
I'm the one
adds
that needs to see
right,
it visually.
Right. Because I couldn't even imagine being in that play and going, here, first read the script. I'm like, I don't even know what I'm saying.
Yep.
You know, where art thy supposed to go on the stage? Yeah.
I'll actually tell you something interesting. A shout out to this particular production company.
Yes.
They're called the Old School Shakespeare Company.
Okay.
And their specific gimmick is they do things like how Shakespeare would have done them back in England.
Nice.
Which means they get the scripts individually.
Right.
They only have like X amount of time to actually learn the lines. And then they only rehearse with each other once.
And then they go live?
Then they go live.
Wow.
Yeah, so they have all that time. And sometimes they'll like rehearse one-on-one with other
okay,
people.
Okay.
But as a full cast in yeah. the actual space, they only have the one rehearsal.
That is
no
neat.
Way.
That
I
is
could
neat.
Not do that. That's
neat.
Tough.
Well, like we say, you do stuff too much, it gets mundane. So you
wow.
never want to get bored of the bard.
Wow.
Do you?
Never.
No, that's tough. Wow.
All right, well, that's cool. What about you, Tiffany? What's something you do for self-help?
Okay, there's three.
Okay, wow.
Yeah.
Well, we all
that
have time
I really like.
Okay, no,
okay.
Go ahead.
To get my hair done.
Okay,
I like to
cool.
color my grays.
Okay.
And that it really makes me feel good.
Do you do so, one at a time or you do the whole head?
I just do my roots.
Okay.
Well, she just does my
yes,
roots.
Yes.
Okay, and then I love facials.
Okay.
Love facials.
Nice.
And the thing now that I just love and I'm kind of obsessed with.
Yes.
Now that it.
Nice.
I listen to audiobooks.
Ah.
Because
perfect.
I have a drive, an hour drive to work.
Yeah.
And so I listen to these. I think I've listened to, oh gosh, at least 10 books already.
Nice.
And
nice.
I just, and it, when I'm in the car, I'm listening to that and my mind doesn't wander to other things.
Right, right.
So I'm just concentrating on the book and listening to the book. And then I pick up on some really good things. 99% of them are like self-help books
right.
that I really love, but I love it. I found my new niche.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
So I do the same thing. I only listen to audiobooks. The idea of picking up a book and reading is gone for me. I can't do that because my mind will wander too much. So the audiobooks really works for me. And I listen to one audiobook a week. So every single week. And then on Saturdays on social media, I give a little review on it. And so I point out that this is the current book, and they're all how-to books. So I'm with you on that.
I love it.
Right.
Love it. I do. It's like I want to say it's my obsession. And I had said this before on the air, but the Libby is
yes.
a...
Sure, it's the library app
that
That's
you could
fantastic.
Listen, so you don't have to pay anything, and
right.
you listen to all these books, and you have them for 2 weeks, and you
thank
can return
God.
Them.
Thank God, you know, that the Library Association, I guess it's Library Association, that sounds right, that sounds
sure,
like a real
sure.
association, but it's the groups of all the libraries that they kept up with technology,
yeah.
and they kept up with audiobooks and made it all electronic, so
it's
you can still
wonderful
borrow electronic
yep.
books through Libby.
Yeah, and
yeah.
you could listen. They have audio and regular books if you
sure.
want to read it on your phone or
okay.
your iPad and stuff. But it's wonderful. So that's my new obsession, and I'm hooked.
Well, now here's the whole thing: is I like how you're calling it an obsession.
It is actually.
Because you don't want it. Normally, when we define an obsession, it's to the point where it is. Breaking the rules, or it's taking you away from something else.
Okay, then
so,
it's not.
So, yeah, it's maybe it's more of a passion to you.
It's more of a passion because
yes, right, because you don't want
when
it
I get
to
out
be,
of my car, I'm done listening to it.
Gotcha. Okay, so when we look at this and how we're going to kind of define this is an ambition is kind of like we see a goal, we're trying to set steps to get there. We're setting a plan in place to do something, an obsession turns in when we turn our back on so many other things that are important. Yeah. Okay, so we don't want to really do that. They're both kind of very closely related. If you get too ambitious with something, it can easily turn into an obsession. Okay, but on other points, you know, it's important to have an obsession, like you're obsessed. Imagine this. I mean, here, I love having Luke here. All right. Because as a child, I mean, when you were born and, you know, and your older sister, Katie, I was obsessed with you. I obsessed with the idea of being a father, and I wanted to really do as much as I could and spend time with them. Right. And that's just what it was. So
I died. Was he really like always in your face?
Always.
Seriously? Oh, my God.
But see, and I can say it was an obsession because I know there was a point where it's like, oh, you know what? I've got to let them be their own person. You know, like I got excited. I wanted to introduce them to all kinds of things. Like immediately I wanted to go look at this and, you know, take a look at this and try this and all that kind of stuff.
Try the bacon. I don't like bacon.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, my kids. You know, Luke, you still eat a little bacon now.
Sure,
yeah,
sure. All right,
okay,
there you go,
Luke,
there you go.
Crispy or soggy?
No, it's not soggy. It's chewy. Chewy.
Well, crispy or chewy, I really don't have a preference. Okay. I'll eat whatever. Soggy definitely makes
me. No. Nobody wants me not soggy. Wanna. No.
Chewy
no.
is soggy.
No.
Oh, sure.
No.
Sure.
I'm going to say crispy is burnt. Nobody wants that either. All right. But anyway. All right. So.
His eyes lit up. Well, all right.
So
let's. About that.
So the B was this. Be ambitious, but not at the cost of our well-being. All right. Which is really important. We just have to try to live a well-balanced life all across the board. So don't let it turn into an obsession where you forget about all kinds of other things. Okay. A is going to be this. Avoid obsessing over perfection. All right. And this is really important. Sometimes we get so uber focused on something we're looking at and saying, oh, I've got to do this. And every single time you make a little mistake or you're like, no, I could do it better. I could do it better. I could do it better. What ends up happening is you then never finish it. Okay. When you're shooting a video, when you're writing, I mean, the book I wrote, all right. The business book I wrote, What's Your Bacon? I remember I kept writing it. And a friend of mine, this friend, Joe, who was on the show here, came to me and he says, when are you going to finish it? I go, oh, I'm still proofreading and I'm going over it and I'm making changes and I'm finding errors. He goes, just pick a date and be done with it at that point in time. Make it happen. Work backwards.
And then you're up 24 hours a day.
Well, just,
you're on that
just,
date.
Just about. But you know what happened was I needed that finish date and I had to say it's good enough. And I had another author, a friend of mine who wrote a book, and I asked him, "What you can give me one piece of advice on writing the book, what would it be?" And he said, your book will be filled with little errors and mistakes. Things that you're going to go back to the book later and saying, oh, I wish I would have changed this. This is better. He goes, it's going to be filled with that. That's what second editions are for. He goes, publish the book, put it out there, and then you don't even look at it. Wait 6 months, a year, or whatever. Read through the book, make the changes, and put it out as a second edition and make the changes. And so, in other words, aim towards perfection, but understand that you'll never get there, okay, because perfection always changes. All right. And so you do the same thing. When I coach people about doing public speaking on video, it's the same thing. It's crazy how people are obsessed. They're like, I just shot this video. I'm like, all right, put it, post it. And they're like, no. I said, and I was like, yeah, duh. We all say, right? And I go, that's okay. It's okay. It sounds natural. No, I could do better. I could do better. And I go, if you keep shooting for I could do better, you'll never put anything out. Okay. So do you guys do anything where you would say perfection gets in your way of getting something done or the pursuit of perfection slows you down?
I got to tell you, I know I can never, with my whole self-esteem, yeah. I know I can never get it perfect.
No, but I want you, but I want you to
and
still
I don't,
feel, I want
I,
you to feel,
I
no, 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 I want you to feel that you can, it's the definition is you can never be perfect.
Right.
But I want you to feel you can get really close to it. Don't just say, man, I can't do this. I'm no good.
I'm pretty much like that.
Yeah, but I don't want you to do that.
Okay.
Come on, Tiff. You've been on this show for 2 years.
I know.
You're letting me down.
I just, so if I don't get to perfection, yeah. I'm not upset. If I get rejected, I'm not upset.
Okay.
So, okay. I mean, which
so
is
fine, but
a
you
good
find
thing.
Joy in the travel. The journey.
Yes.
Then you're winning.
Yes.
All right. Excellent.
Yes.
Perfect. Perfect.
Okay.
All right. All right. What about you there, Luke? Anything, any perfection, the idea of perfection get in your way?
Sure. I like to write a little in my free time.
Okay.
And
father and son.
That's it.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Wow. You could the amount of people who roll their eyes in this studio. Yes.
I always stop myself from actually doing the writing.
Yes.
Because I'm like, oh, I want a perfect plan. I want to know exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I want to know what goes where, but you can't do that.
So before you even start?
Yeah.
Oh.
So you just have to, put words on a page. A friend of mine also does writing.
Okay.
And I remember he was just stuck on a blank page.
Right.
We were both hanging out. He was like, I just don't know how to start this scene. And I didn't ask him any questions about the scene.
Yeah.
I just walked over and I put in a random sentence in
the head,
which was like, my ankle hurts.
Nice.
Or something to that
effect. Yeah, yeah.
And then I just walked away and I let him sit with it. And then he was like, oh, okay, I can do this. And
all
then
right.
he got started and he wrote like 15 pages after that.
Nice, nice.
Was any of the sentences, my ankle hurts?
Yeah, he kept the sentence.
He did keep it?
Nice, nice.
That's what
nice.
I was wondering. No.
So is there some kind of literary term for that or something where it's that really obscure first line? I mean, I know sometimes it's a hook. Mm-hmm. That gets people in, like, I don't understand what that means. I need to know more. Why does his ankle hurt? How did he hurt his ankle? Who is this person?
Once upon a time.
Yes. So is there any kind of literary term for using it like that? Because it's more daring to start it like that. The easy way to start a story is once upon a time. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't add anything to the story. That just says once upon a time. So in other words, this happened a while ago. So obviously you're telling the story, so we know it happened in the past. Unless you're talking about Star Wars.
Oh, okay. You want kind of an attention grabber, I think.
Yeah.
Like call me Ishmael.
Yes.
It's such an iconic line.
Right.
That you don't even have to care about the rest of Moby Dick. You just remember that.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great opening line.
It's blunt.
That I think what it does is it's the hook that pulls you in, that makes you question, I need to know a little bit more, because you create questions in someone's mind. Okay, so is there any kind of a perfect opening line?
A perfect opening
line?
Yeah,
see, this is my setup, because this is avoid obsessing over perfection.
I wish I remembered more of these, like, line for line, but I'll tell you the opening of the Iliad, Homer's Iliad.
Okay, is?
And this is a rough translation, because I don't speak ancient Greek.
That's right. It's all Greek to us.
It's something to the effect of, it's like, rage, sing the song of the rage of Achilles.
Okay.
And that the Iliad as a text is mostly centered on Achilles, who has been slighted by his fellow Greeks.
Right.
So he's choosing inaction and he's not helping them win the battle.
Gotcha.
It's such a poetic and like interesting line, which especially sing, because it's a book all about war.
Sure, sure.
Violence and horror. To start with almost like a very strange word choice.
Right, right. Because you would think it would be scream. Mm-hmm. But sing has more power to it.
Yes.
Yeah. Just kind of to sum that up is, again, this kind of leans more towards that first one about taking care of ourselves, understanding that happiness is not a destination. It's not a constant state. It's not where you're at. It's the it's not the destination. It's the feeling you get as you're getting there. Like, I'm making progress. Mm. If you can find that that direction and enjoy the run, what's wonderful about it, I'm going to go back to this whole idea that we say, be ambitious, but to the point of saying, I want to become better than the person I was yesterday. Okay. Don't become ambitious to say, I want to be better than somebody else. Okay. So this idea of, you have to every once in a while just stop, look back at, who you were, how far you've come. Because there's plenty of times, and I'll throw it back to you guys. Have you had anything, any projects you've been working on, a job, a duty, something that you thought in your head you were like, I'm picturing it this way. But then as you suddenly get to a point, you're like, oh, this is just not working. There's something wrong with it. And then so the rule here, or the thing that helps you, is to be able to turn around and look back and say, but look at how far I've gotten. Okay. When I teach these kids on Sunday, all right, we usually break the kids into two groups. You would love this. I break them into two groups, and we do these debates. So they're practicing public speaking, and I'm helping them write stories and come up with intelligent arguments. And at the end, there's always got to be one winning side. They're the ones who came up with the most compelling argument, and it's always the other side. It's like, oh, we lost. I don't want to be the losing side, that whole thing. So I try switching it to the idea that there's two – there's two sides, the winners and the learners. Okay, and the idea that you didn't lose, you just have the opportunity to learn. And so maybe next week you'll do better because you learned from your mistakes and you learned from their triumphs. The kids, they don't buy it. They still consider that.
Is it one class or is it?
It's three different classes.
It's three different classes.
With
so
many
one
kids.
Team could win the first day and the...
Oh, no. This goes for like 9 or so weeks, but it's three classes. Like, I teach one group, and then an hour later, I teach another group and another group.
Okay.
Yeah, but I divide them into different, you know, I come out and I'll say, all right, you know, you're one, you're two, all right.
And then
I divide
the next week, they're
It could be different.
Different.
It could,
gotcha.
Right. Okay. But it's that idea of, you know, you can't win everything. So every once in a while, you have to just grab the... some joy out of the journey.
And it teaches to the kids that you can't win all the time.
No. Life is not, in that regard, I'm going to say life is fair. There is going to be a winner and there's going to be a loser. So you can't say life is not fair. Life is fair. You can't win everything. That's what's fair about it. Mm-hmm. Okay, if you won everything, winning wouldn't mean anything. You all right there? You keep spinning around.
I know, because out of the corner of my eye, I'm seeing someone in the green room.
Maybe there's somebody in the green room.
And then I was hearing noises, and that's why I'm like...
That's a train.
Well, that's the train. There you go. Yeah.
So what about you guys? Is there anything that... Have you been on a path, a project you were working on, and then you just stopped and just looked at what you were doing and saying, hey, you know what? I've done pretty good, and just allowed that to reset yourself so that you can go back at it. I'll give you an example of something that I was doing while you guys are thinking.
So, Luke, come up with something.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So you know that, Tiffany, we've talked about it before, where I like building these bars, the rolling bars. So I've got one that's almost done. It's very close to being done.
I thought it was supposed to be done by Halloween.
Yeah. Well, lots of things were supposed to be done. That was originally supposed to be done by July 4th.
Oh.
But you know, you have to wait for parts to appear because I can't buy them. I have to be there. Everything's free.
Gotcha.
Okay. So anyway, I was putting up one part, and in my head, I could visualize how it went together. And as I was putting it together, I was like, this is not working. This doesn't fit. I'm measuring it, remeasuring, trying all different ways. And like I said, when we build these things, I can only use the material I have. I can't buy anything. It's got to be scavenged material. That's the rule of building these things. And I had one day that I said, oh, I've got about 6 hours I can work on this bar. I'm going to get a lot done. I'm going to spend the whole day on it, right? 3 hours later, I'm still on this one section that I couldn't get right. I mean, I'm driving nails and screws, throwing screws out, pulling things out, you know, ripping what's left of my hair out, doing everything like that, where I had to just finally stop, put everything on the ground, sat back, sat in a chair, and just kind of looked at it, okay, and just said, you know what? This is pretty good. There's a lot of really good parts. I've really made a lot of good progress. Let me just move on to a different part of it, and let me think about this, and maybe the answer will come. And it was amazing. As soon as I stopped obsessing with that, okay, and started working on something else, it came to light, okay? So what ended up happening was I just had to take that moment to say, I'm no longer enjoying doing this because I'm running into a lot of problems. So my ambition... Okay, was to get it done initially by July 4th. Then my ambition was to get it done by Halloween. Now, it was out in Halloween. We served, you know, we put it out there. We served drinks.
Oh, you did choose it.
Yeah, we did do that, but it wasn't finished.
Oh.
Okay. And so I became obsessed with little parts of it. And once I walked away from it and said, stop letting that obsess me, it became easier to work on it. And I found more joy with just the initial intent. The goal was to have fun building it, not to become obsessed with certain little parts of it.
Hmm.
Okay? So that's what I mean about this. Choose your moments of contentment and joy. Every once in a while, you just have to stop what you're doing because we know that things are going to, no matter what you do, you work on it long enough, things are going to become unhappy. You're going to lose your happiness, right? What you don't want to do is you don't want those things that bring you joy to turn into something that brings you, you know, dismay, makes you anger, or become sad. Okay, what you want to do is you want to stop before you get to that point because you still want to enjoy that. Okay,
Luke.
So, anything? how about now? You've got like 16 dogs, right, Tiffany?
Yes.
Like 16, right? Okay, and so you know but you love those dogs like endlessly, right?
Yes,
absolutely. You obsess over them.
Kind of, yes.
All right. So has it ever gotten to a point where they've made a mess, done anything in the house, outside the house, right? And to the point where you get, even if it's for a moment, even that you get upset with them. Mm-hmm. And have you ever, ever have that fleeting moment in your head, like, why do we have three dogs?
It's never been to that point.
Not even a fleeting moment? Not even a fleeting moment? I don't know why I ask you, because you're the oddball in the humanity.
So we have a really old dog that
yes,
sometimes can't hold herself.
Right. Well, because she's got paws, not hands.
Yeah. And she has accidents in the house.
Okay.
But she's old.
Yeah.
So you can't get mad.
No.
Because she's old.
You always yell at me when I wet the floor in this room.
Because there's a garbage can right over there.
Thank you.
And then we have our other dog. You know the sirens that are once a month? The tornadoes?
Yeah, yes.
She freaks out and jumps up on the couch and digs. And she puts holes in our couch.
Yeah.
But she's scared and we're not home.
Right, sure.
So.
Yeah. I know, right. You have to do that. But so it's this idea of...
Do I get upset? Absolutely.
Right.
Do I wish we didn't have them?
No. Okay. I'm just saying. The idea has never even crossed your mind. That's okay, and it doesn't have to. Okay.
They're my babies.
Are you kidding? I get upset with Luke every once in a while. Going, I wish I went in on our. All right. But the idea here is you concentrate more on the contentment and the joy that the dogs give you, as opposed to the negative, because the negatives are the good that comes from them outnumbers the negative. Tremendous. Yes. Okay. Luke, anything from you? Anything you want to add about that? Choose your moments of contentment and joy. Yeah. It sounds like a Christmas song, doesn't it? Choose your moments of contentment and joy.
I'm kind of reminded of, do you remember the end of the movie, It's a Mad, 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 Mad World?
Love that movie.
Never saw it.
Oh,
the whole movie, Spencer Tracy, the lone dramatic actor a cast of comedians.
Right.
He's a cop, and he's trying to find the lost treasure of this criminal who he's been chasing for decades.
Right.
And
his whole career.
Over the course of the movie, he becomes driven to the point where he decides, I'm going to take the money for myself.
Yes.
He's going crooked. He's not laughing. Nothing in the movie is a joke to him, so the entire movie is a comedy except for him. He's like, this is serious. I got to get this money. And he fails in the end.
In
the end, no one gets the money because everyone gets the money.
Yes.
Spread around an audience.
Don't ruin the ending for Tiffany. This is a movie she's never going to see.
Every single person in the cast at the end is in the infirmary because they've all gotten into a slapstick accident.
Yes,
and
they're all in body casts.
He has the worst of it all. He's in a full body cast.
Right.
And he says, I'm probably going to go to jail, and all of you will get off by turning me in.
Yes.
So I'm like, I tried the hardest, and I didn't have any fun, and here I am, worst off.
Right.
And then Ethel Merman, who plays one of the characters, mother-in-law, she comes in at the very end, and I think she, like, trips on a banana peel.
Yeah, of course it's a banana peel.
And then everyone starts laughing.
Uh-huh.
And Spencer Tracy, last of all, laughs the hardest.
Right.
Because he finally
lets go.
He finally lets go because he's like...
Yes. Yes, that's a great...
Wow, how the heck did you come up with that?
That was a great example.
That
was beautiful.
Doing?
Bug.
Nothing. Yeah, everything's good. We're all right. Don't worry about it. So it does. It reminds me.
It scared you.
You flicked it right at me.
Is that what it was? You flicked it and then it.
Hey, we're on the radio. Nobody can see what's going on here. It's all good. So it reminds me of a story. This is this whole idea when I talk about being obsessed with my kids.
You flick bugs at them.
Yeah, exactly. I would share these great lessons with them where they would go, oh my God, another lesson. And so I'm going to share this one with you that fits into this perfectly because I'm glad we did this. So Tiffany, this monk is walking down a path in a jungle, right?
Okay.
And he's you know, just contemplating life. And all of a sudden he hears a rustle. He turns around and it's a giant tiger
who
comes charging after him. And the monk runs as fast as he can, trying to get away from the tiger. He doesn't see where he's going, and he's at the edge of a cliff falls off the cliff, but at the last moment is able to grab a small branch that's growing out of the side of the cliff, right?
Okay.
So he's hanging like... a good 20 feet below the edge of the cliff, and he looks up, and there's the tiger just lurking over the cliff, drooling and snarling at him. So he's looking, going, I can't climb up. He looks down, and it's about a 30-foot drop, so he has to contemplate, can I let go, and will I land okay? But then suddenly, three more tigers appear underneath him.
Oh, no.
And they're circling, and they're growling, and they're jumping, trying to get him. And
they're hungry.
Yes, and he's hanging in the middle of this. He's realizing that there's nothing, absolutely nothing he can do. He can't climb up, and eventually he's going to let go, and he's going to fall to his death. He realizes this. Suddenly he sees at the end of the branch the most beautiful strawberry he has ever seen in his life is just hanging on this branch. So what do you think he does?
You know the answer, Luke.
Yeah, of course. He tosses the strawberry at the tigers because the tigers are allergic to strawberries.
Oh, my gosh. Escape. Don't ruin the story. No.
I totally believe you.
No.
How the heck do you come up with stuff like this?
Because he's hurt now because I pollute his brain with these stories.
I knew this was such a, you mentioned a monk.
Yes. So he eats the strawberry. And that's it. That's the end of the story. Okay. So the deal here is that in the midst of peril, you're still able to find some joy, some peace, something wonderful in life. And so he can't survive. He's going to die, but he's going to at least enjoy that most perfect strawberry. Oh. That's it. So that's beautiful.
I got to ask, is that bug going in my purse? Because you keep looking right over there.
Yeah. There you go.
It's
you just smacked the mic with your head.
It's a stink bug.
There you go. Yeah, well, that's so, yeah.
Ooh, it's a little thin.
I think that's a stink bug. Yeah. Oh, no, it's no.
I think it's like a firefly.
No, it's definitely not a firefly, but I know what they are.
Wow, that's
based on my purse. Thank you very much.
It's all right. I don't know where he came from. So, that's all right. You know, this always makes for good radio. Turn on mic number two for him. Okay. All right.
Yeah, he's so far, Marty.
You're welcome. All right. So far, what have we covered so far there, Tiff? Be ambitious, but not to the cost of your well-being. A is avoid obsessing over perfection. C is choose moments of God. What are you doing?
I'm letting him out.
Why don't you put him in the garbage can?
Oh my God, Luke, you're cracking me up.
Are you going to put him all the way outside? Wow. And Tiffany has left the building. I can't imagine if that was a mouse, what she would do. What would you have done if it was a mouse?
I would have taken him home.
Really? And fed him to one of the dogs? No, I mean, like, to me, friends. Make friends with the dogs.
Okay.
I would hope you wouldn't flick a mouse at me.
If there was a mouse suddenly appeared on my paper, yeah, I would have flicked it on you. All right, so anyway.
Okay, we're back.
All right, good. I'm glad. See if, we'll see if anyone
mentions
this.
Luckily, the door was red.
Yes. All right.
I set him free.
All right, so anyway, let's get back to this. So B was be ambitious, but not to the cost of your well-being. A is avoid obsessing over perfection, okay? C is choose those moments of contentment and joy, like watching Tiffany bring a bug outside in the middle of the radio show. All right, so O is overcome obstacles and adversities. All right, so we realize that life is full of these challenges, these setbacks and failures we're gonna face all the time. They can be really discouraging. They can be frustrating. They can demotivate us, right? So it's important to not let those things get in the way of our overall goal. All right. View it like we always talk about running the marathon and we know where the finish line is. Now imagine there's hurdles in front of us. You don't run to the hurdle and go, well, oh, I didn't realize there were hurdles. I'm going to stop and go home and have lunch. No, you have to jump over the hurdle. And that's why you see people. I always like the whole hurdle idea. You've seen people run the hurdles, you know, run the races with hurdles. They jump and they knock them over and they're like, yeah, he tried. But you just keep going. He keeps running even if he knocked them over. He doesn't stop and pick it back up and say, here, let me try this again. And so it's important to not let those obstacles, those hurdles, those adversities, those failures get in our way. We have to just try to get over them, under them, around them, through them, whatever it is to get towards our goal. Don't let them slow you down. One of the things that I learned, and again, when I coach people about doing some these little mini videos for social media or YouTube or wherever they need the videos for, is sometimes we practice and we say, all right, I got to talk for 5 minutes. And you start with your opening line, your grand opening line. You know, I fell and, you know, a dog bit my ankle or whatever it is. Okay. And as you say it, you go, oh, I fell on a dog and he bit. Oh, no. I fell in a dog. I fell and I bit the dog's ankle. Oh, and you keep making the same mistake. And what we do is we continue to keep repeating that first line until we get it right.
It's not the bacon for doing, but it's the bacon for chewing.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And so what's important is to, even though you make a mistake, run through the entire process. Finish the race. Run through it, because that may be the only time you get to practice the rest of it. If you keep rerunning the same opening line that you make mistake after mistake after mistake, then you perfect the first mistake or get close to perfection, and then you make mistakes on the second line, and then you have to keep doing it. So sometimes you just have to run through the whole thing, deal with the mistakes, knock over those hurdles, all right, and just deal with everything. Get to the goal, take a look at it, and say, I know it's not perfect. Is it good enough? Does it represent the message or the idea that I was hoping to accomplish? If not, then let me try it again. But you do the entire thing. Don't let just one little mistake early on stop you and have you start back over. Okay? Does that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So go ahead. Luke, you had something to say.
It just reminds me of a story. You remember as a child,
yes.
I participated in one sport.
Yes. Yes.
Cross country.
Uh-huh.
And I remember one day they were having a 100-man race through cross country.
Yes.
And I didn't want to do it at all. I was like, I'm awful at running. I'm going to be bad at this.
You were awful good at running. You just sold yourself short.
No,
but go ahead.
I was like, I'm bad. I'm not going to do well. But at some point, I was like, I got to do it. I have to push forward.
Yes.
Even if I'm going to do bad, because, you know, how am I going to get better? And you know what? I went into that 100-man race.
Yeah.
And I got 99th.
Nice.
So there was, you know,
nice,
what? There was
nice.
Beat the one guy.
100th man did not show up.
God damn, father's son.
That, sadly,
he is just like my his father's son.
That is sadly a true story.
Yes, yes.
That is not a...
But I even watched you during the practice when he was doing this. You would see there were people who physically you looked at were going to go, you applaud these guys because they're trying this, but physically they can't even make it around the track. Luke would, like, you would look like you purposely would run slower than them to purposely always be last. It'll be like, come on, this guy is walking backwards and you're still slower than him, all right? And so I think you were not obsessed with winning that. I think you were more obsessed with losing that.
Oh, I hated it.
Yeah,
I don't even know why I did it.
I don't think you...
Because your dad made you.
No, the only thing I would have done was I would have pushed him into something to say, do something, come up with some type of sport, and you chose that for some reason. I didn't choose that for you.
Because I could walk.
Right.
You can't walk in football.
That's true. Maybe that's why you chose it. Great. All right. And so, and then my rule always was, if you're going to do it and it's a team sport, then you're part of the team, so you have to see your way through, because you can't let the team down. So if you join it and it's a team sport, you have to be, you're part of it through the whole season. You have to stick with it because you have to be, you're part of the team. Don't let the team
They're
down.
They're counting on
yeah,
you.
Yeah, exactly. So that was my only role, was to try it. And if you didn't like it, then, you know, you could stop it. You tried it. That was most important. Okay. All right. So that's overcome obstacles and adversities. You never had to run hurdles, though, did you?
I wanted to do all that stuff. That's why I had to do cross country. That's why I wanted to do it, because I wanted to do track and field.
Yeah.
You had to do cross country first.
Yeah.
I'm just remembering that now.
Oh, wow. So there you go. So
I wanted to do the hurdle.
So you had to find, so the goal here was you needed to find some joy in doing the cross country so that you could get to where you wanted to go.
That taught me a lesson fast.
Yeah. Cross country. What do you think would have been your sport in cross country? I mean, in track and field.
I mean, I...
Javelin? Shot put? Bocce?
Pinochle?
Well, you keep working on that. We'll wait for the answer for the next one. Right. I throw a lot of questions by Tiffany, and she never comes up with the answer.
No.
Yeah, we postpone it. Like, here's a good question for you for next week. All right. So the last one here is N, nurture your relationships and connections. Wow, and this is perfect because we just talked about you're part of a team. Mm-hmm. And so you can't let your team down, just like you don't want your team to let you down, right? So it's really important to continue to nurture those relationships and be strong with them. Right.
Right.
What's some of the things that you guys have done or are doing that you feel you're part of a team and you're relying on your team, or you see your team is relying on you?
There's a radio show called Bacon Bits.
Oh, really? I have to listen to that. Yeah, that's a perfect example. That's excellent. Because I've told you this, is it's not a success without you, Tiffany, because I need you to come in there. You give me, you're the comic
exactly.
relief. Yeah, that's what it is.
You're the something.
Yeah. Who would give us those quotes? Right? All right. So, no, it's important because we're a team and we rely on each other to do this. All right. And so it's a good time. It's the same with work. When we there's very few places that we're going to work that we're completely autonomous. That's what it was. I knew it was either anonymous
you
or anatomical.
Guys is big words.
All right. Yes. Autonomous. Most of the time, we're not on our own. We're part of a team. All right. What about you, Luke? Any teams that you know? Like, well, you did some comedy writing when you were in school there.
Yes, I did.
And you did some stuff. And we have always talked that you find it would be more beneficial for you to be part of a team to bounce ideas off of.
Completely.
Okay.
I think all my best work that I did through film school, I only did because I took work I had made,
yep.
I brought it to other people, and I said, how can I make this better?
Perfect.
And I think that's true with almost any project you have, like just bringing it to a crowd, bringing it to your peers, bringing it to anyone, and just saying, what do you think of this?
Okay.
Right.
And if someone says, you know, what about this, do you say, no. You didn't like it.
I mean, if you don't like it, I mean, it's still your work.
I view it as this, is the way I say it is, I will always take your opinion, but I won't necessarily take your advice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you might have an opinion. This is what I think is funny. And I'm like, all right, thank you for that. And this is what you're going to say. And that's your opinion. But the bottom line is it's his work.
Yeah.
He's putting his name on it. So he's got to say, that was a great opinion. And I understand where you're coming from, but I'm not feeling it. I'm not going to go with that. Now, that could be your right or wrong, but it's all subjective at this point in time.
Even if it's an opinion you completely disagree with, you can like go forward saying, okay, well, now I know that there are people out there in the world who would think this. And
yes.
Like, it's just adding to your thought, your consensus of how you work and who you work for.
That's a really good point as far as this whole idea of nurturing your relationships and connections, is like I'm saying, is understanding your audience, because most people don't view the audience as actually part of their team. But in a way they are, because if you're doing something, whether you're just public speaking, when we're like us, Tiffany, we're sharing a message with our audience. We have to kind of get an idea what our audience wants to hear, what's important to them, because then that will sway the direction of the show. It's the same if you're doing stand-up comedy in front of an audience. If the audience is not finding what you're doing funny, you've got to kind of sway it to find the audience. So the audience plays a very important part of your overall team. Cool. Okay, Tiff, you've got one hidden quote that you've been dying to share.
Oh, destiny.
You're right over there? It looks like you fell asleep.
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay. All right. Maybe you got to hit yourself on the mic again. Just one more time.
Okay.
All right, there you go.
Thank you. Being obsessed by goals is bad for you. You should set goals, even ambitious goals, regularly, but focus on them only to the extent they are giving you direction.
Nice. There you go. That's it. They've got to give you direction. That sums up almost everything we talked about.
Phew.
Yeah. You're good. You're like, I did?
Yes. Got it.
Yeah. Because that whole idea of avoid obsessing over perfection. No, that's just, you know, the goal is the direction. Okay. Growth is the real purpose. Okay. And there was a nicer way of saying that. I used to say that all the time. Growth is the goal. What is it? It's perfection is the direction. Growth is the goal. That's what it is. Okay. There you go. I knew it was something clever like that. I think that's going to be our t-shirt.
There you go.
You like that? All right.
So
perfection is the direction. Growth is the goal.
So are you having a t-shirt every week?
I don't know.
Once a month?
Only if we come up with something good. But we're going to try that. Because did you notice that on On the social media. I listed some of the shirts and stuff like that.
I did notice that,
so,
yes.
So that's what I'm going to end up doing.
So, yeah, you should probably do that, the shirt of the week or the shirt of the month.
There you go. I kind of like that idea. So I'm going to write that one down. That, so what was that? That was something about a dog biting your ankle?
Yeah.
All right. Perfection is the direction. Growth is the goal. All right.
Boom.
Nice.
And if you want that t-shirt, you can go to masterhappiness.com and you could look under...
Well, actually, you can go to masterhappinessgear.com. Ooh. That's your gear. You wear your happiness like armor.
Ah.
That's what the tagline is.
Because you're outnumbered
three to one. Very good. You need that happiness armor. All right, that's going to be beautiful. All right, so with that, what's your last take on anything, your personal things on ambition, obsession, anything that you're feeling like you're ambitious to do or you're obsessed with right now, anything like that that you want to close the show, because we're down to like the last minute or so. Anybody want any closing words from either one of you?
Luke?
Wow, that's your close. And Tiffany's closing words are Luke?
Well, you know, he's a guest. He's a guest, and he's an expert.
He
should close this show out.
So go ahead. Go ahead, Luke.
I was just reminded of a recent Cheers episode.
Okay.
Where Diane tries to get Norm to go for the high-end position at his firm.
Nice.
But at the end, Norm says, I'm happy being a cog in the machine.
Nice.
I'm not ambitious. So.
That's cool. He found his contentment. He found his level of joy.
For every machine you want to strive up for, there are going to be machines that you're content at your level for, I think.
Right. Every machine needs those individual cogs, those screws, the sheet metal, all that other kind of stuff that builds
the
sheet metal, baby.
Sheet metals.
All right. What about you there, Tiff? Any closing words? Any thoughts on this ambition, obsession? What do you... You were obsessed about... traveling with Tiffany or Tiffany's travels, okay? And that's going to be a goal. You're ambitious
Tiffany's
adventures for 2024, the year of Tiffany's adventures, 2024.
Yeah, year of Tiffany.
Yeah, and I'm also going to have your dad help me. I'm going to hire him on as my business coach.
Nice, ooh. Perfect.
Yeah. Wow, so you're going to help me get that
We're going to make
started.
It happen.
I wish I would, honestly... Since we only have a minute left.
Yes.
I wish I was a little more obsessed.
All right. Well, you know what?
But I'm not.
You don't, because you know why? Because you can't visualize the finish line. Right now you're running a race and it's foggy out in front of you. You don't see it. You need to define what success looks like to you.
So is that what my business coach is going to help me do?
Exactly.
There you go.
That's what we're going to do. All right. So with that, I'm excited about this. I'm excited. I'm ambitious about getting you obsessed with this idea.
Oh, I like that.
All right. All right. And I'm going to be obsessed with that ambition. All right.
Good.
And so, again.
So now you get me a little excited.
Nice. There you go. There you go. All right. All right. So with that, thank you all so very much for tuning in to Bacon Bits with Master Happiness. I've been your host, Marty Jalove. And of course, the ever popular sidekick, my bestest buddy,
Tiffany.
And our special guest.
Good night, boys.
Luke Jalove, right. The expert on ambition and obsession.
Happy birthday, Luke.
Yes, happy birthday. It's almost midnight. We're 4 hours early. Yeah. All right, so pretty soon. All right, so thank you so very much. Next week, I believe next week, our show is about mortality.
No.
Yeah, I think so.
No.
What's it about?
Something about happiness.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Oh, that's right. Next week is the fear of happiness.
There you go.
Next week is the fear of happiness.
That's
the next one.
Because I have my quotes.
Right. The next one is going to be mortality.
Yes.
Wow. If I mixed that up, you would have killed me. get it? That's mortality, right?
Save it for
all right. So there you go. So say good night, Tiffany.
Good night, Tiffany.
Bye-bye.